Praise God. I like that song. Hallelujah. Are we rolling? No? Okay. So while they're getting us on there, I just want to tell you that we are making some progress. I'm telling you, Sunday morning, Spanish translation will be in the house. So those that want to listen in Spanish, and we've got some that are going to try it out, and it's going to be marvelous. And I want to thank Danny. She got that all set up. So praise the Lord. It's pretty good. We tested it. It's pretty good. What we'll have to do is you have to go back and put in some specific words that are kind of Christianese that maybe some people, that the translators can't pick up. But I think we can do that. Like you were saying, what's anointing? What does that mean to people, you know? So we'll work on that, but it's going to be good. The other thing I want to tell you is that Monday morning, we're getting a new wall in the back, and both of the booths are going to be sheetrocked. Amen. Yay. So that's looking good. And also, we're getting new carpets up here, and we're getting some new stage lights so that I don't look like I'm in the dark on the camera. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we're working on all that. It's looking good. Thank you, Jesus. Please remember that we are having our anniversary on September the 8th, and Mr. Burt Wimberly will be here. Praise the Lord. Pastor Burt Wimberly. Hello to Douglas and Jay Lee. Hello to Tina. Hello to Stacy and Debbie and Molly and everybody else out there listening. John East. Praise the Lord. I can't think of all of you, but glory to God, we're glad you're listening. And some of you still haven't checked in, but please, if you would, just check in so we'll know you're listening. We're not going to try to track you down or anything, but praise the Lord. Maybe. No, we're not. I'm kidding. But we love you and we want to bless you. Romans 12:18. You're going to like this tonight. You're really going to like it. You're like, she's going to step on toes. Actually, I'm not. So you're okay in those flip-flops. Praise the Lord. Everybody says, well, you're pretty bright tonight in your colors. Well, I wore these on purpose. So if there's any doubt what I believe, you can see it right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just want y'all to know that. I'm wearing this to remind you to pray for America. This is my way of making a statement. So pray for America, church, every day, pray for America. We're getting very close to casting our votes, and we need them to be legal votes. Amen. All right, John, will you please turn off the blizzard for me? I just can't take it another day. I'd rather sweat. So praise the Lord. He's got his phone there. He can do it. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Okay. Now it says, if it's possible. So what we understand from that is all things are possible with God, but with men, maybe not so much. We know right now there's wars. There's all kinds of things going on where people disagree and they fight over things. But we do the best, you know. So, but, you know, even if humans disappoint us, we can still have a great life. We can. There's a way. And that's why we're walking through all these things. So we're looking at different relationships. Church, the Word of God, there's just a lot of persuasive teaching in the New Testament that reminds us the value that God puts on unity and relationships in the body of Christ. It's important to him for us to have unity. It's important to him that we love each other. And so how we are to love each other, how we treat each other, how to proactively build positive relationships with one another. Did you hear me? Proactive. Yeah. See, we can be proactive. We can take it on ourselves to do something about this. All right. So, you know, we can see, even in this word, we see people navigating, and building positive relationships. We see people navigating difficult relationships. You see people around you navigating difficult relationships. You've had some. Somewhere in your family tree, probably, you've had at least one or two. Praise the Lord. Maybe here. I don't know. Hope not here. But so, you know, we're challenged to overcome the inclination to rip each other apart. We're challenged to go ahead and do the right thing. So what we did was we began to talk about the types of relationships that Paul navigated. And there were so many of them. He did really a good job at that. He's a great example. And so we talked about them all together. And we dug in by talking about number one, which was your relationship in yourself, what you needed to do. And so anybody didn't get that, you could back up on Sunday and listen to that. But we actually talked about living a Christ-centered life. If you get self out of the middle and put Christ in the center and you reckon yourself dead to sin, you reckon yourself dead to just wanting your own way and a dead man doesn't get their feelings hurt. That's basically it. You can't be touchy. And so you work on that by appropriating Christ in the center of your life. And we also talked about emotions. We talked about that they're our teacher and they're our relator, but they shouldn't be our decision maker. A little bit, but the others come first. Certainly some mind of Christ, some critical thinking is good, but you don't want to totally reason. I just live by the Holy Ghost, I just tell you. I wake up every day and say, Lord, I just have to do what you tell me to do. And it's a whole lot easier. I use my brain, of course. We think through things, but there's a whole lot of emphasis on leaning on God. So here's the list again, if you want to remember it. These are the relationships that Paul had. Himself, which we've dealt with that. Spiritual sons, those who disappoint you. Relationships from a distance. Relationships with the faithful. Strained relationships and toxic relationships. So we're down to number two now. And so you're like, I'm glad we're not going to talk about ourselves again. Hey, praise the Lord. So these things are going to be a little more practical, how you would walk these things out. So first we'll just talk briefly about spiritual sons. Paul had spiritual sons, right? In fact, in your life, in your fatherhood, in your motherhood, in your walking things out, you really need three kind of peoples. You need three kind of persons in your life. Number one, you need a Paul. You need someone bigger than you to look up to. Everybody does. Everybody does. Number two, you need a Barnabas. You need a peer in your life. Someone who's equal to you, but they'll encourage you, help you, help you stay on the right path. Tell you if you have, you know, cake on your face or something. Praise the Lord. And way deeper than that. They'll tell you when you need to throw away your old clothes and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. Right, Deb? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, and then the third one is a Timothy. You begin to, as you begin to grow and go, I don't advise this for brand new Christians, but as you grow and go, there's going to be someone in your life that you feed into. You help them. You begin to mentor them. And this goes across the board. You use this in your job. You use this in different ways in life. You help mentor people. But those are basically the three kind of people that you're going to deal with on a up close level. You're going to want a Paul. You're going to want a Barnabas, and you're going to want a Timothy. I read that as far as ministry is concerned, that 70% of ministers do not have a best friend. How sad is that? That they don't have a best friend. And you really need one. You need someone that you can talk to. Amen. And so we're blessed around here. Now, so let's talk about Timothy's. First of all, if you're going to help someone else, you got to help yourself. We've talked about that. You know, put your oxygen mask on first. Help yourself. Get yourself right so that you're telling them right stuff. And when we get down to some of these other relationships, we can apply them back to this one. Because there's a certain way to approach people, to have conversations with people that'll really help you, that we're going to talk about in just a little bit here. But true spiritual leaders actually seek the welfare and betterment of those that they serve. You know, a lot of times, and you know, I'll just refer to what I know, and you can put this in your perspective as a boss or whatever you do. But in the ministry, there are people who actually don't want their Timothys to get any better than they are. That should not be it. I should be the floor and they should grow up higher. They should get on my shoulders and get better. They should have a bet. They should be better at it than I am. And so that's what we seek to do. And so Paul is someone who actually did that. He had Timothy, he had Titus, he had some of the others, and he put a lot into them. He didn't flatter them. He didn't butter them up so he could get something out of them. He was not covetous toward them. He wasn't building a relationship so he could get their stuff. Come on. You listen, this stuff is real. People actually do this. People will rub shoulders with people to see if they can get something out of them. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to be the giver. Amen. And so he wasn't covetous toward them. He wasn't building a relationship to get stuff. And he didn't seek the glory of men. Something so important in your life as a boss, in your life as a Christian, in my life as a leader, in your life as a leader, we're not seeking the glory of men. If someone tells you you do good at something, say thank you, but turn around and give God the glory. And you don't have to be all religious about it. You don't have to go, oh, brother, it's not me, it's the Lord. Now, you don't need to act like that either, but you go down that center path where you say, thank you very much, but then you turn around, and when you go out the door, you say, Lord, you get all the glory. Or what I always do, I always just say, in the Holy Ghost good. To the people, because it's him. And so when we start staying in these places, we start working good with people. And Paul did that. He didn't gather up a group of disciples so he could feed his own ego. He was truly raising them up. So he wasn't about lecturing, getting together and lecturing and all that. He just taught them the good stuff. He put out the good stuff to them. And so he wasn't demanding of them. He wasn't controlling them. He exhibited this heartfelt compassionate concern for their well-being. He wanted them to do good. If something came up, he felt that thing of, how can I help them? How am I going to help? That is so important. Amen. He wanted to be able to help. And so we can do that in our lives with people. He was gentle. He cherished the people. He longed for them affectionately. The Bible says, remember he used those very words. And not only did he give them the gospel, he gave them his life. He gave them his life. He was willing to be out there. He exhorted, he confronted, amen, and he charged every one of them. Remember, he'd say, I charge you to walk in faith, da-da-da-da. He would put it out there to them. So he put his energies and his efforts into their spiritual development. You know, if you do that with your staff, if you put your energy and your efforts into your staff, your children, your congregation, the people around you, you're going to produce something good. You're going to produce something good. You're going to produce happy people that trust you and that grow up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are y'all too hot? Do I need to turn the blizzard back on? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. So he wasn't interested in shaming them. That's a big deal. We don't want to shame people. He felt obligated to warn them, though. He'd say, I don't know if I'd go that way or not. You know, actually, he was a little stronger about it than that. So, and he didn't put people on a guilt trip. Mm-hmm. Amen. He didn't put people on a guilt trip. And he was different from just a teacher. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just passing information to people. He was an example as well. He did what he said. If he was preaching walk by faith, then he walked by faith. He just didn't expect other people to do it. If he's teaching someone to walk, if you're going to teach somebody to walk by faith, you walk by faith. You do it. Amen. And then he was willing to spend and be spent for people. So he would give sacrificially for them and for their advancement. He would see that they got to move forward. Amen. So he was seeking them and not what they had. Amen. So if you're a mature leader, then those are the traits that you're looking for. And you may say this today. You may say, well, you know, none of this applies to me because Because I'm not a leader. You are to somebody. You are to somebody, whether it's your children or someone in the church who admires you or the people that you work with or wherever you are, you're a leader to somebody. Amen. On some level. So God help us to be good examples and follow good examples. Now, let's move on to those who disappoint you. This will be a fun one. Praise the Lord. Okay, so living with and around those who disappoint you can either make you bitter or better. So this is where we should use that chart that I showed y'all a week ago. Are you seasoned? Are you poisoned? You're going to have to make a decision on that. And basically, it is a decision. That's what it is. Listen, think about all the... Isn't it amazing the stories in the Bible that are about poison? Yeah. Moses out there with the serpents. Remember that? Yeah. Elisha with the poison stew. Jesus talks about serpents and drinking poison things. And then Paul, what happens to him? So he gets bit by a snake. He had to shake it off. Amen. And so it's real interesting to me. But you know that God constantly provided his people with an antidote. That's what we have to know. If someone tries to poison you, if they get their fangs in you, you can heal from that really quick. But it's going to be your decision. You can go around and stay poisoned if you want to, or you can shake that thing off. And, you know, I'm just using these stories to remind us that life is full of experiences that they have the potential to embitter us. Things happen. And, you know, you can either get into resentment and ruin your life, or you can come on through this. You know, we get that ache of regret sometimes, you know, it hurts. And we're like, man, I don't know why I've ever got involved with this person or whatever. But there's always a way out. There's always an antidote. In fact, with God, there's always a way to win, church. There's always a way to come out of this stuff. He'll get you out. He'll help you. So you can get bitter or you can get better. And here's the key to it. It's how you respond to God. It's gonna be how you respond to God. That's first. It's not the person first. You gotta get a hold of God first. You gotta respond to Him first. That's gonna determine whether you're gonna end up poisoned or whether you're gonna end up seasoned. You'd be like, you know what? We've dealt with these kind of people before. We're moving on. Okay. So once again, how you respond to God. And Paul was a really good example. He's faithful to God. And you know, here he is. He's being transported to Rome to be imprisoned. And there's a shipwreck. He has to swim to shore to live. And when he gets to shore, a snake bites him, right? Yep. And what does he do? He shakes it off. And with the same hand that got bit, he laid hands on that guy and healed him. Now, that's being big.
Yeah, it is.
Because he could have shook it off and say, God, you about to kill me. But he knows it wasn't God. He knew it wasn't God. And he knew that things come up against you when you're doing something for God. And you might as well just know that that happens. If you're living for God, somebody out there hates you. It's the truth. All right. So he took that same hand and God flowed through that same hand. I think that's awesome. So now here's some potential poisonings. Don't dwell on this too much, but if you've seen these, you know that you can be delivered from them. Betrayal, disappointment, broken promises, rejection, disrespect, ingratitude, insensitivity, criticism. Someone lies or gossips about you. Someone undermines you. Your convictions and values are disregarded. Unreasonable demands you cannot fulfill, and then you're belittled for not fulfilling them. Mm-hmm. All of these can poison us if we let them. Yeah. They can. And probably, you probably dealt with almost all those at one time or another. I probably could go through this list and think, yeah, I think I faced just about every one of those. But I want to be seasoned. I don't want to be poisoned. Because poison's only killing me. The other guy's going free. They're not sitting around thinking about what they did. They're all happy and doing good. I would be the one over here seething for nothing. The other person just cruising on. And so why do that? I think maybe people, you know, we walk in the power of forgiveness, but I think maybe people don't realize that forgiveness is, it's for me. When I forgive, it helped me. You're like, I don't want to forgive that guy. I need to hold this over his head. You're only holding it over your head. It is just the truth. Forgive. And then the Lord said, vengeance is mine. He'll take care of them. He said, woe to the one who offended. Let God deal with him. God's bigger. I'd rather have my God deal with them the way he sees fit. And I'm so glad he's the one that gets to deal with me when I make a mistake. Praise the Lord. And so if you're going to stay seasoned and not poisoned, the first thing is make a decision. Make a decision. You know what? I'm not going to let this poison me. I'm not going to let them ruin my life. I'm not going to let them have a day. They're not having a day with me. And the second thing is walk in the power of forgiveness. Because when you hate your enemy, they have power over you. The other thing is live free from envy and embrace a life of gratitude. Just, well, everybody else has it better than me. Well, you can have it as good as everybody else. But you start by rehearsing the good that God has done for you and thanking him for what he's done for you. Listen, church, thank you goes a long way with Father. A long way. You get on that trail and you get grateful for what's going on. He'll start responding because he can connect to that. So we have to understand that there are things that God can connect to and things that he can't connect to, because he's a God of love and a God of faith. He can't connect to you when you're horsey, and I hate to use that word horsey. They're pretty good. But when you're all messed up and bitter and mad and yucky, he can't, that's not him. He's a God of love. But if you're grateful, he'll come right on in there and go, okay, now what can I do? I tell you what, when people are grateful for what I do for them, I'm like, what else do you want me to do? I will help you. I'm like that. If people are like, man, thank you so much for that. I'm like, you need something else? I'm just like that. We all appreciate that. We all appreciate when people are grateful. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this helping anybody? Yes. There's just little things we can use with people. I haven't gotten to the good part yet, but I'm coming. Well, I think it's good. Anyway, this is a big one now. I want you to really think about this one. Monitor your expectations. Monitor your expectations. Are they realistic? People are people, church. They're people. And many times our disappointment is intensified by these unrealistic expectations. People are not just going to always do what you want them to do or treat you the way you want to be treated. And if your expectations are so high, listen, when it comes to God, believe everything. Expect everything. When it comes to people, not so much. That's a good way to put it. Not so much. Put your faith in God to help them. Put your faith in God and let him work on them. A lot of people will come through if you do that. Particularly in these days, they're going to. Amen. I've seen some interesting people make some big change decisions lately. Now, the next thing is see the bigger picture. It's really helped me to have this picture of a book. And somebody has a bad chapter. But there's more chapters coming. There's more chapters coming. Don't throw the book away. Don't throw Pastor Roxanne's book away because she had a bad chapter. You know what I'm saying? Don't throw Margaret's book away if she had a bad chapter. It's not the end of our lives. You may have a time where things get a little rough. Maybe people get a little rough. They may have a couple of bad chapters, but there's plenty more written. And so it would be better if, listen, I think I said this to you before. Don't cut what you can untie. Don't cut what you can untie. Don't, if the bridge is burning, start throwing water. There's a way to live and a way to forgive, but you don't fully have to go in and just put your total trust. That's earned. But you can have enough wisdom to do both. You can love, you can be friendly, you can smile, but that doesn't mean you have to let someone have your bank account number, if you know what I mean, or get too personal with you. You learn where to put people in these circles, where to work with them, and live in that. And who knows that they might not move up in the circle, just like John Mark did. Paul was mad. He ran out on us right in the middle of everything. He just quit. I could just hear him. He was probably just, well, he was task oriented. He needed to have things done. But what happened to John Mark? John Mark grew up. He started hanging around with Peter and them. He started coming along. He started getting the stuff he needed, and he came back and he did good. And Paul said, let's take him with us. So they didn't give up on him. They may have felt like it on that day, but they didn't. And so if somebody has a bad chapter, don't give up on them. See the bigger picture. All right, y'all receive that? All right, we're going to do one more tonight. We're going to look at relationships from a distance now. Now, I'm saying this to you, but I'm going to say that you can use what I'm about to say on the very closest ones as well. And we'll start out with those a little bit further out. You're called to bring the best out in people. Have you ever known someone that when they're around, you feel better about yourself? I have. You just feel better about yourself when they're there. There's something about them that they warm your heart, or they, when they come on the scene, you're like, yeah, I feel pretty good. I'm all right. It's like that. You do that to me. When you're around, I feel good about myself. It's just the way it is with some folks. But we can be that to people. And all it takes is a smile and a good word and a hug and a whatever it takes, and just warm people's hearts. You just warm them up a little bit. You're friendly to them. You love them. You say something good about them. The Apostle Paul did that. He'd say, hey, greet Priscilla and Aquila. They hung in there with me. Do so-and-so over here. Tell so-and-so. What's his name really helped me? I'm not going to call out all those long names. You know, Ed and Paul and John and, you know, but they all had the long names. He stuck it out with me. He brought this. He did that. Luke was here with me. No. He mentions them. He talks about them. He'll say something good about them. If we were going to do that here right now, Jim and Misty. I love Jim and Misty. They've been a blessing to me. Y'all know they're from New Mexico. They're friends of ours and show up here sometimes, friends of the church. I'd say something about them. Casey and Parrish, praise the Lord. Pastor Brandon, he's my friend. Jennifer and Derek, oh, man, I sure do love them. You know, you're going to say stuff. I love Riley and Kim. You know, these are people in our lives. They're out there, but we recognize how much we do love them. Don't let go of those things. Just be sure. Hey, Facebook has got you right there. That's the one thing it's good for. I'm going to leave that alone. But you could do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, so you're not going to be close to everyone, but you can do something for everyone. Hey. Okay, let me tell you something about Wendy. I call him Wendy, my Randy. Every time he sees me, he asks me how I am. Because I had a joke going of that no one ever asked me how. They're always, Pastor, but they've never asked me how I am. Now, I wasn't trying to be a victim about it. I was just giving an example of how people could be. But he didn't care. He picked it up. And so every time he sees me, he comes up to me and says, Pastor, how are you doing? Every time. Not like Joey, but we know what I'm talking about, right? But he's like, how are you doing? So in other words, he's made that place with that we always have that. We always have that. We're not together that often, but when we are together, there's love there.
Right.
Amen. You see that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You have that with people. You touch their lives and they touch yours. Now, once again, build those bridges. Don't burn them. Insensitivity drives people away. When you're insensitive to them, they may already not be someone that you're with all the time. But it helps to just be a little sensitive with people. If you have a moment to say something to them, if you have a moment, if you don't just walk by, I know we have stuff to do, but sometimes if you just reach out a little bit, and sometimes if you care a little bit, you just show that you care. Am I hitting the bell there? Anybody get that? You just care. Show that you care a little bit, not be insensitive. If someone's crying, you don't always have to walk by them and say, "Get over it." You can say, "You okay? You all right? You hurt me? Something, you know, praise the Lord." All right. So, be sensitive. Be sincere. Sincerely love people. This is not something for some of us. This is something for all of us. And every personality can do it. So, you know, it may seem that it would be easier for the female to be compassionate, but I've seen just as many people, men, care as women. I see that look on their face. I see that tender moment with them, or I see that, "Man, I appreciate you." I see that. When we were Baptist, it was about a handshake. You remember that? How they shook your hand, you could tell how sincere they were. It was important. And I think that's still true today. If somebody just hands you a little dead fish, your noodle, you're like, "Oh boy." But if they grab your hand, man, when kids do that, I appreciate it. You know, their daddy taught them something. Does that make sense? There's different ways to be sincere. You don't have to be a sissy about it. Amen. All right, so, you know, we're just not in a popularity contest. That's not what this is all about. This is about the purpose that we have with God, and His purpose is loving people. you don't have to be politically correct. You can do what you believe. And you don't have to seek to please people for personal gain. That's not why we do it. We seek to please God. Amen. There's right reasons. You don't have to patronize people and those kinds of things. Amen. You want to seek to build the bridges that are going to have kingdom principles. It's a kingdom principle about building relationship. And the love and the affection for people is there, but it's even deeper than that. It's not a personal mammon thing. I'm not your friend just so that you have something I want. There's an equal flow that we go for that brings a flow for the kingdom. Amen. That's a short version. Okay, so you have to be very intentional and very deliberate about the scripture I'm about to read here. This is 1 Corinthians 9:19. Be very intentional and deliberate about this. "For though I be free from all men, yet I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Okay? Now here's another version. It's easier. "Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people." You become something to people so that you can help them, you can reach them, and it'll take on different looks, different ways. You flow different with different people, but you're willing. Can I be frank? Okay, I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything. Yet we become something to each other for the gospel's sake and for the love and friendship's sake. It, when I say the gospel's sake and kingdom's sake, it sounds like I'm putting it in a business frame. I'm not. God is big on affection. He's big on friendship affection. It means a whole lot to him that we're affectionate with one another. It's important. But the love is deep. It's deeper than just affection.
Yeah.
You know, some people are easier to be affectionate with than others. Am I right? Because some people are more friendly. When I say affectionate, I'm not talking about lust and stuff like that or erotic love. I'm talking about I love you, friendship. But it's important to God that we get our walls down. But that goes back to being seasoned and not poisoned. Amen. Okay, here comes the fun part. You're going to like this. This is how we do it now. I'm going to tell you how we do it. This is how we become servant to people. You ready? Content, timing, and tact. Write those down. Content, timing, and tact. This is how you're going to represent or how you're going to approach people that you love, friends that you love, business associates, people in the world, whoever it is. This is how you're going to do it. Content, what we say. Timing, when we say it. And most importantly, tact, how we say it. Okay? Now, unfortunately, people focus on, can y'all hear me good?
Yeah.
Don't fall off now. We got about 6 minutes to go and we're out of here. Okay? Mm-hmm. More people focus on content. Well, this is what I'm going to say to them.
Yeah.
Even right in that instant, I'm going to talk about this. I will talk them into my point. Okay?
Yeah.
Come on, church. Come on.
Yeah.
So you're more concerned about your content, the content of the communication, while ignoring the vital components of timing and tact.
That's so good.
This is really important. It's really good. And if you're in the ministry, if you're watching and you're in the ministry, it's really important. If you're in the business world, this is really important. If you're in a friendship, it's really important. Okay, now, so what we say is important. But we're told to speak the truth in love. So love doesn't just consider the accuracy of the message. Did you hear me? Now take this on every level. Business, everything. Just the accuracy of the, it doesn't just depend on that. But the well-being of the hearer. Now, come on. Let's get honest right here. Are you interested in the well-being of the person that you are giving the content to? Are you really interested? Do you even care? Are you just so bent on talking them into what you want? It's good, isn't it? It's really good. Amen. So we have to check ourselves out on this. We can't just have the accuracy of the message. We have to care about the well-being of the hearer and to seek the best way to communicate the message with people. And listen, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you can do it right there on the spot. Let me just use a term to you from Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. You got to know when to just be quiet about it and wait till the timing happens to tell people things. Right? Amanda, what'd you tell me today? It's not what I know. It's not what they need. It's what they'll receive. See, you overload people when you just want to give them your content. You will push them away and then further away and then further away. And then further away, if all you want to do is just push your content on people. You got to be clever about this stuff. You got to use God's wisdom about this stuff. And so you got to watch the timing. And you know, if you don't exercise sensitivity in your communication, you're going to undermine the truth. Did y'all get that? Jessie got it. She said, yeah, you'll undermine the truth. You're trying to get God, you're trying to get people to believe how good God is. There's a way to deliver that. You're trying to sell something. Some of you are salesmen. You're trying to sell something. There's a way to do it where people could actually hear you that might want the product if it's delivered properly. But if you're trying to shove it down their throat, I'm going to tell you, I'll walk away from that every time. I don't know what it is about me, but I repel that kind of stuff. You try to force me to eat or drink something or buy something that I don't want, I will be long gone. I'm just like that. I just don't like people being pushy to me. Amen. Well, likewise, I don't need to be pushy with people about what I believe. Tact is defined as a keen sense of knowing what to say to avoid giving offense. Tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. Tact is being able to discern what is fit and right. It is really a number of qualities working together, insight into human nature, sympathy, self-control, a knack of inducing self-control in others. I think that's so big. How many people do you know can do that? That they, with their tact, they're actually induce the other people to have self-control. That's big if you can do that. If you can really communicate with people like that, where the other people begin to, can I just say it like this? Act tactful. Isn't that cool? You can do that. You can be so wise about how you speak to people that it'll get off on them. And they'll hear things differently. And they'll react differently. And, you know, they could even open up to you and go, oh, I get that. And not go, all right, they're going to ramble on. I'll just wait till they're done. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Amen. So, and it's not only kindness, but it's kindness skillfully, skillfully extended. You put it out there in a way that it's skillful. Can we be skillful in communication? Yes. Yes, you can. And this is not just what you learn from how to get rich quick stuff. This is what you learn from the love of God, how to treat people. It'll work. It'll work. Praise the Lord. And there are a lot of great things. I mean, you can think and grow rich and all those things. Those are all wonderful, but shoving is never going to work. Sin-conscious preaching doesn't work. We don't want to know how bad we are. We already know. We already know how bad we are. We don't need someone to do that to us all the time. That's not being skillful. Hellfire and brimstone. Turn or burn. We know how we are. Now, we do need to know what sin is. Absolutely. We need to know all those things, but we don't need, you've been bad, you know you've been bad. We need to know that God is good and that we can get out.
Amen.
We need to know we can get out. And so these are ways out. You start loving from your side, things are going to get a whole lot better. All right. If you want to win the world, melt it, don't hammer it. My mama's in heaven, so I can talk about her. My mom did hammer us, particularly me. And consequently, I thought I was the bad kid. Well, actually, I was the bad kid. But she seemed to be able to find everything that was wrong with me. And it is true. Y'all know Sissy. Sissy was the better kid, obviously. But, I mean, she had her stuff too. She wouldn't agree with me right now, but you know, in my mom's eyes, I could see that. But when someone hammers you all the time, it's hard to want to open up to them. Now, we got along fine. Me and my mom got along fine, but that harassed me a lot. When people hammer you all the time, It's not a good thing. You get tired of it. What's the scripture that says, there's a scripture that says, y'all have to help me with it, but it's better to do something to live in the house with a contentious woman. Better to live in the attic than to live with someone who's always finding things that are wrong, finding things are wrong, finding things are wrong. You need to fix that. You need to do that. Da, da, da. Look at that. That's wrong. That's wrong. This, you know, when you have to constantly live like that, it's hard. Amen. It's hard at home. It's hard to kiss the lips of someone who chewed you out all day long with those lips. I was good. Stop it. It's true. You get chewed out all day long. Why would you want to kiss those lips? They just chewed you out all day long. Amen. Am I getting too personal with y'all? I'm helping the husbands, y'all. Praise the Lord. And the wives too. Praise the Lord. All of us, give people a break. Find something good. Be a good finder. So you're like, Lord, help Pastor finish this. I've had enough. Let me say this to you. You have to cultivate tact. Cultivate it. Learn it. Start watching yourself. I'll tell you something I learned a long time ago, and this has worked for me pastoring. Watch your timing with people. There's times when you need to immediately correct something, but there are times, well, if you just wait till they get around the corner a little bit, they'll come and self-correct. And they'll come to you and say, can you help me with this? I feel like that I, and they'll correct themselves, or they'll come to you and you'll get to correct them. If you just automatically jump on people, you're wrong about that. That pushes people away. I remember when in my partying days, we were down the street from a church and the church people came down the road with signs, turn or burn. Now, do y'all think that made us want to turn? I did not. We were just like the other way. Other things came out. You know, but it's your goodness. It's your kindness. The Lord drew us in. He kept drawing and drawing, and we came out of all that stuff. We came out of all that yuck because we found out about the good God. We found out what he would do, how he loved us, how he cared about us. And it made us want to do what's right, do it right because it's right. It was for the right reasons. It wasn't because anyone was necessarily demanding something from us. Now, the word demand doesn't bother me today. If God demands, I'm in. But when I was coming in, he had tact. See what I'm saying? He had tact. Now that I'm a grown-up kid with him, he can just tell me, girl, you better watch your mouth or whatever. But as I was growing, he like, now come on, come on. Now come on. Now look at this. Now come on, you can get better at this. And still sometimes today, he just treats me like baby tender love. Other times it's like, straighten up. Straighten up. Get off that. Amen. But your kindness with people. And this works for faraway relationships. It works with close relationships. But you have to cultivate that. Soften the contacts. Soften it. Soften it. My pastor was so good at that. He could soften things. It didn't feel like you were getting torn up all the time. Amen. So if a correction or rebuke is necessary, let me give you a secret to it. Tell a story. Tell a story. If you need to, tell a story. Brother Hagin did it all the time. They would say, Brother Hagin, blah, 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 blah. He'd say, back in 1938, didn't he? He told a story. Brother Copeland does the same thing. He tells all these stories. And you're like, oh, I've heard that story 30 times. You're going to hear it 30 more till you understand what he's trying to tell you. Tell a story. In fact, those of you that are preachers, if you'll tell a story when you first start, your listeners will hear everything you say. I should have done that tonight. I didn't do it. I just jumped right in on you. So you see what I'm saying. So as far as timing, it's critical. And I found out that if you wait for Holy Spirit, a door will open for you to get the job done that you want to do with people. That you can't, and sometimes you wait for days. Now I'm going to say this to you, as far as being a pastor, if there's something hurting the flock, I have to go right after it. If there's someone, I have to go right after it. But if there's someone growing and you kind of have to bring them along, then you can wait and you can have some spaces until they get it. I remember one time I preached righteousness of God for about a year. Because we had just learned it, and so we wanted it out there. You know, we wanted the people to get it. We're the righteousness of God. We were so excited about it. And we preached it for about a year. And time went by, and the ones we were preaching it to didn't seem to get it. And then a little while later, they came running in and said, "Guess what? We're the righteousness of God." And I was like, okay. But who cares as long as they got it? As long as they get it. As long as they come along and find out who they are. As long as they come along and find out that they can be seasoned and not poisoned.
Yeah.
This is how, church, this stuff helps us so much. We have to get rid of the idea, well, I don't care, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it because I'm going to make my point. And you're going to drive everybody around you away if you do it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's close it up here. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we do have tact and timing as well as content. We thank you that we're kind to people. We make choices, Lord, to be seasoned and not poisoned. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us these things. And we choose to use them. We choose to love people. This is the way to love people, is by communication. We thank you, Lord, that we put the walls down. That we're brave. We put the walls down. We're not sending messages over walls anymore. We open up to people. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of hurt because we're seasoned people. I thank you, Lord, for it. We rebuke the fear of rejection in the name of Jesus. We just cast it out of our lives today and we declare we are fear free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on our lives, for the love of God on our lives, for the comfort you give us in Jesus' name. If you receive that, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's receive our offering. If you would like to give via text message, click. Click. VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift, and we will be so happy to receive it. You're a blessing. Thank you all for all of your giving. Father, we thank you for the tither. We thank you for the giver. We thank you for the anointing on the finances coming in. Yeah, okay, Lord. I just heard this once again. Great provision. Great provision. Great provision is at hand. This is a verse that I am sharing right now with my friends that the Lord gave me. You remember Ezra? Okay, now Ezra was in the time of Nehemiah when they're back there and they're building the wall. And I'm looking for the scripture. Where is it? Am I in Ezra? Ezra? Oh. 6:8. Oh, I'm in 8:8. That's why I can't see it. All right. This is what they said when they were building that wall. Now take this, church. Take it spiritually. They said this: "Moreover, I make a decree, what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews, or to us, what shall be done to us, okay, for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river," in the other realm, okay, "forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered."
Amen.
You shouldn't be hindered on any project. Not one project should you be hindered. You should be able to receive it from the realm because you're a tither and you're a giver. You have sown. All of the people I'm looking at in here and even those online, you've been tithers, you've been given, you've been sown. Receive it from beyond the river, from the king's funds. Jesus. So that we're not hindered. We're not going to be hindered from moving forward in this house. We're not going to be hindered from helping plant churches. We're not going to be hindered from going out doing what we do. You're not going to be hindered for what your projects are at your home. At your business. No more hindrance. Let's say that. No more hindrance in Jesus' name. Come on. Praise the Lord. Lack is not hindering us. We have it. We have what we need. I can dream really big.
Yeah.
I can dream really big. And so we shall. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hey, God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye bye. Praise the Lord. Y'all good? Isn't this good? I love the tax stuff. It's so good. Really helped me. You know, you're probably doing this and you don't even realize it. Maybe not everybody here, but some, I believe we are. I believe some of us are. That you use it. Just go ahead and say, I'm doing it. You're doing it. Because you learn to talk right to people. Be gracious. Be gracious. Don't get up in somebody's face and start floundering and flapping around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's ways to treat people. If you see Brother Copeland out on the street and you run up to him and say, Brother Copeland, come here. I'm going to smell the mustard with you. Yeah, that is no way to treat that man of God. For one thing, he needs his privacy sometimes. But another thing is watch how you approach people like that.
Yeah.
You know, honor. Yeah. Don't take the front seat in the wedding. They sit in the back until they invite you forward.
Right.
We have to be humble people.
Yeah.
Amen. You said that like you needed it. She went, yeah.
No, I was talking myself.
Well, I mean, think about the people that get in line. They get in line at 7 o'clock in the morning. One lady spent the night at the convention outside the door. Did y'all see her? She was outside there. I was like, man, she really wanted to get a front seat bad. Well, I guess that's okay if that's what she feels like she needs to do. I'm not discounting that. But knocking people over to get down there? We're Christians. You know, we need to be reminded of that sometimes. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you glorious rest. Expect in the times when you're resting to notice a presence now. There's a presence coming with the anointing that's even on you now. There's a place of love and rest that is going to fill the atmosphere. Not even just in there where like you're rocking the baby or whatever, or you're just sleeping, but in your home. In your home, there's a rest to be had. There's a rest, and it's yours, and there's a glory in it. That glory in it is going to produce everything the both of you need in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. I don't know what this means, but I'm going to tell you, something's coming from the east. I don't know what that means to you, but something's coming from the east. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, oil. We got it covered. Ours is in the south, so we need someone in there that'll open those wells. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody healed and well? Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Huh?